What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Cheap Rehab. This week, our guest is Chris Butler. He's a physical therapist and director of sports medicine for CATS Physical Therapy out in California. And that's CATZ Physical Therapy, CATS Physical Therapy. Chris is in his 10th year as a physical therapist, and so he puts out a lot of information about exercises on chrisbutlersportspt.com. So if you can check him out there, find out how to contact him and everything on that. Again, chrisbutlersportspt.com. I'm your host, Jeremy Jackson. This is a sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cheaprehab. And first things first, if you're watching the video, I'm holding up one of these CLX bands by TheraBand. This episode is sponsored by TheraBand. They are giving away 5 sets of various colors of these TheraBands. So the CLX, a continuous loop TheraBand, if you want to win a set of those, once this is published May 19th to June 2nd, you got 2 weeks. Make sure you sign up there. Again, the easiest way, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cheaprehab. Since all we're talking about is rehab that can be done with a TheraBand, we're giving you some. So take advantage of the opportunity to win some TheraBands for your athletic training room and take advantage of these exercises that my expert, Chris Butler, is bringing to us. All right, Chris, it's all about you, your show. So I think one of the key areas that we often miss is the core strengthening. We'll focus on, you know, the ankle or the knee. And so I wanted to start off our discussion with exercises that you like to do for the core, again, with nothing more than a TheraBand. Ready, go.
Well, first off, it's great to be here with you, Jeremy. And I do listen to the show regularly, so it's good to be on your show. I definitely enjoy the stuff you guys are putting out. So, again, it's an honor to be on with you guys. You know, I really like using probably the TheraBand the most for core exercises. I've got quite a few videos up just from that, and I use it. And the main reason that I got going on this kind of little core routine that I use was that I did hurt my back a couple years ago, and I was just kind of going through the regular routine of table exercises and dead bugs and bird dogs and all that kind of stuff. And I just felt like I needed more, especially I needed some stuff in standing. And so I just kind of started putting together things that felt like they were hitting the parts of my, core muscles that I could get while I was on my feet. You know, we're really big into getting people up off the tables here at CATS. So we want to do as many exercises as we can in standing. And so that's great to be able to activate the core and do, you know, a certain number of reps of dead bugs or putting weights on your hands or feet. But I really want to try and get my patients activating all the different proprioceptors throughout the body. And that's only going to get done if you're up against gravity and standing. So, I like to use different versions of Pal-Off presses. The TheraBand or any kind of band tubing, but TheraBands, they allow you to kind of get a horizontal pull, whether you're going to be working in the transverse plane or frontal plane or even the sagittal plane. You can get that in standing, and you can activate some of the musculature that you're going to need for life in general and specifically for sports rehab. And so that's kind of how I kind of really got started doing that standing core routine, was making up stuff that I felt like worked for me and helped me get through it. By no means am I saying I made up these exercises. I just kind of started doing it. I'm sure people have been doing it for years, but now that's kind of how I take a lot of my back patients through their routine. I mean, they might start out on the table, but then I'm going to get them up on their feet in multiple stances, split stance, square stance, single leg. They'll be moving their arms through a sequence of frontal, sagittal, and transverse plane, whether it could be with rotation or with movement, or sometimes we're just trying to do anti-rotation exercises.
All right, so tell me a little bit more about the different variations of the Pal-Off press.
You can start out just in a square stance, and you'd be holding the band close to your body. So just that alone, depending on how far you're stepping away from the band, is going to give you some sort of transverse plane pull. And then what you do is you just press your hands forward out. And what you don't want to have happen is for your hands to deviate towards the pull of the band. And by doing that, you're activating kind of transverse plane rotational muscles. And then you can also do the same thing pressing upwards. So if you were to hold the band close to you and just press upwards, again, you're trying not to let your hands deviate towards the band. So that'll be more of a frontal plane pallet press. You can also vary your stances. So you can go into a split stance and then you'll feel a little bit different pull from there. Single leg is a little bit difficult to do when you're doing that. You can try that. That's some pretty good hip stability in there with that. Then you can also go into stepping, starting with your feet together, stepping forward, and then pressing out your hands. And that'll get a lot – that starts to activate a lot more muscles. You start adding in muscles around the feet, muscles around the hip, obviously muscles around the core and then shoulders as well. You're adding in a lunge-type press. You can also do these from a kneeling or a half-kneeling position too. When you get down onto your knees, you take away the foot, really, and its ability to kind of stabilize you a little bit. So you get a lot more emphasis on the hips and the core. You can do a pallet press from kneeling or half-kneeling as well.
So if you don't know what the Palaf press is, you can do a quick Google search, YouTube video. But Chris, why don't you go ahead and describe what you are looking for whenever you're like looking for visual cues for your patients?
Starting out, you got to teach them, where is your core and what do you want to look for? I'm looking for a neutral spine, so I don't want to see them overly extended or overly reverse, kind of flexion position. I like to try to see that there should be some lumbar, a little bit of natural lumbar extension, and then you get the thoracic kyphosis. You want to keep that S shape going all the way down through the spine, through all these movements. As the resistance gets harder, you're looking for them to make sure that their hands are coming straight forward when you're pressing out and you have that horizontal pull. You don't want to see it going one direction or the other. And then as you start getting into stepping drills with it, you want to watch out they're not leaning in against the band. So sometimes people will do that. They know that it's going to pull them, especially when their foot's traveling in the air. So sometimes they will lean out away from it, and you want to get away from that. That's definitely something that you want to get away from with bands. Whenever you're having a horizontal pull, you don't want them kind of compensating for that resistance. You want the resistance to add to the proprioceptive stimulation of the movement, but you don't want them kind of cheating the movement. So those are a few things you want to look for. You still want to see the same postures that people should be getting into while lunging or just your static postures, whether it's standing or kneeling.
Okay, so just to make sure that I'm clear, if I'm doing the Palaf press, I'm standing there, I got good posture, and then I add in the band, and I'm probably going to hold that there for a little while using the TheraBand, or if we're using the CLX, maybe you got somebody standing there beside you if you don't have a way to attach it to a wall or a squat rack or something like that. So just standing there static, and then once we're kind of solid with that, once we've kind of coached them through the postures, through the way to feel their core tightening, not leaning against the band or towards the outside, I guess, then we would add in the lateral step or for whatever we're going in for there, right?
Yeah. And sometimes just holding the band against the stomach and stepping out laterally to the side, sometimes that might even be one of my first things I'll have people do, because that especially if they're holding the band in close against their stomach, that's something that's usually pretty easy for anyone, regardless if they're post-op on a lumbar, surgery, or if they're someone who's just dealing with, non-surgical back pain. Sometimes just a lateral step out to the side is one of the easier things to do. Sometimes when you have people pressing out and as they get that longer lever arm, sometimes they're not quite ready for that kind of thing. But yeah, you're right. You always want to have that same posture that you're looking for, regardless of what movement that you're doing, that neutral spine. And if there is a lunge involved, and you want to make sure if there's a forward torso movement, that it's a good hip hinge as well. That they're not getting rounded, and that they're not rolling under with the hips or overextending with the hips. That's a big one, is especially if as you get them facing away from the band, and if they were lifting their hands overhead and the pole is kind of pulling them into lumbar extension, you really need to make sure that they can lock in the pelvis and stay neutral through that motion and allow the shoulders to elevate overhead and keep the anterior core tight.
All right, so besides Palaf press for core, what other core type exercises do you like to do with in the standing position, since that's kind of what you're focusing on with your patients?
Yeah. We kind of mentioned if you're standing sideways and the band is kind of horizontal to you. So we've got the forward press, which would be a transverse plane, and we've got the overhead press, which would be a frontal plane. I usually will have people face away from the band, and sometimes I'll have them hold two handles with both hands, have a TheraBand attached to it, and start them out in a split stance. And I like both knees to be slightly bent and the back heel off the ground. And starting with the hands kind of extended out about 90 degrees. And then I'll have them extend over or flex their arms or shoulders overhead. And that's, it's kind of a type of movement you might see people doing on like a reformer or Pilates type move. But when you do that, obviously the bands start pulling the hands backwards. And that's going to just force you to turn on the anterior core. But you also have to watch out that they're not overextending. Anytime someone gets that one of the legs extended back behind them, you got to watch for if they have tight hip flexors and are they going to overextend their lumbar spine. So I'll just have them extend, lift arms overhead and then bring them back down, switch feet. And then sometimes from that same position, I'll get them standing on one leg and I'll have them alternating press their arms overhead. So now we're working in a single leg stance, and obviously that's got its own stability requirements. And that's kind of like a dead bug type movement. You can even march in that position and do standing dead bugs in a way. That's definitely something that I have people do, assuming they can stand on one foot. Obviously, if they can't stand on one foot, you can modify that into a split stance or maybe you're standing with just the toe touching in the back.
All right. And again, I know we are always looking for what more we can do, but I don't want to forget to emphasize as we're working with our patients, make sure they can do the basics. Because recently when I talked to Sean Reedy about, we were doing dead bugs and we do them on the table usually, but I wasn't having them pull their shoulders back and really tighten their abs and focus. So we've actually kind of backed up with most of our kids that are doing those dead bugs to make sure that they're engaging their core. Again, this is in the laying down position, but we have to go back and check ourselves, make sure we're not just dishing out exercises without ensuring that they can do the basics first. So,
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to be able to do a few things before you start, adding resistance or bands or anything to them. They got to have a base and decent movement, especially if you're going to start having them lunge and reach and things like that, for sure.
All right. So we've kind of talked about the core. That's the base of everything. And a lot of this, you said, you can do lunges or split squats or doing dead bugs and marching, that kind of stuff in there. But what are some of the exercises you like to do for lower body with nothing more than a TheraBand?
With the TheraBand, obviously I have something nothing unique really, but a great home exercise program is using the TheraBand, anchored around the toe. And you can get people doing their dorsiflexion, plantar flexion, inversion, eversion. Really great ways to have people do very simple exercises at home, especially in rehab. Around the ankle, when you have a sprain or injury or even post-op, people tend to lose the ability to just move the ankle or just the foot. You'll see their entire leg moving. So, just having them hold a band and loop it around their toe and have them try to only have the ankle or only the foot move with a little bit of resistance is a really good home exercise routine. With the lower extremity, you can use a TheraBand, especially the way powerlifters use it. Anytime I get the chance to add in powerlifting or weightlifting components into rehab, I love to do that, especially working with some of our athletes. So a lot of powerlifters will add banded resistance to barbells And so I will do that from time to time. So obviously that's not only using a TheraBand, but you can use a really light load, especially if you're low on equipment. You can use some sort of strong dowel, I suppose, or if you do have a barbell, maybe not a lot of weights, adding a banded, looping a TheraBand over the edges of the barbell or the dowel is a great way to get some deadlift or squat work in if you don't have bumper plates or plates to add on for resistance. I also will have people hold on to a band. So the band is anchored down, and as they step up onto a stool or a box, you're getting added resistance as they're stepping up. You can also angle it a little bit so that maybe you're going to get a little bit of frontal plane. So if you have someone who's working on their knee and they're really weak with their glutes, glute med, you can have somebody do a step up while holding a band. It's anchored downward and maybe to the opposite side. So if they're holding, if they're stepping up with their left foot, you can hold it in the right hand, and it can be a little bit of a, maybe a 45 degree angle. So as they step up, obviously there's a vertical pull from the band as well as a frontal plane pull. And so you can add those two together and get a glute max and a quad work in there as well as some glute med, which is, I think, is a great way to strengthen the glute med. I really prefer to have people do things in a natural position when they're trying to strengthen those things. I don't like to have people do exercise that might cause their feet to get into positions that they wouldn't normally be in when you are trying to strengthen the muscles around the knee and hip. As far as other lower extremity things for the bands, I don't have a ton of things. I think there's so much you can still do with just gravity in general. So I will oftentimes add in the bands to increase the gravitational downward pull, or like I mentioned, add in a little bit of frontal plane pull, or even a little bit of transverse plane. It would be similar to the core, to where if you were lunging and reaching, having that horizontal pull come in to where you can activate some of the lateral glute muscles for sure.
All right. So tell me some of the variations you use for just lower body exercise, even if it's without the band. Again, the concept of the podcast is exercises you can do with nothing more than the band. Hopefully we're registering to win a set of these CLX TheraBands, but if we can do it without any equipment at all, that's even better.
Yeah. So, I know that you mentioned you have a lot of athletic trainers out there, and sometimes some of these schools just don't have a lot of equipment, or they're out on the field where they're out on the field and they don't have equipment. So I definitely believe you can do a lot of work just using your own body, gravity, and then three planes of motion, as well as, three different foot positions. So square stance, split stance, single leg. Just by using your hands and your arms and the tilt of your body, you can really activate all three planes that you're going to need. That's how you play sports. Obviously you have to overload athletes. So at some point you got to get some heavier weights going into the rehab routine, but you can still get a lot of proprioceptive training in just by reaching the hands through your different stances. So for example, I've got a blog post on this where we're talking about mobility and stability kind of being together. It's an applied functional science concept where he calls it MoStability. I don't know if you're familiar with Gary Gray, but he's kind of the applied functional science guru, and he'll have people lunging and reaching, moving in all different directions. So if you were to stand on one leg, you could, flex your knee and reach down to the outside of it, and then straighten up and then reach forward and then reach to the inside. And that's going to get kind of your core and your leg and all the portions of the hip, ankle, and knee, moving in the planes that they need to move in as sports. Obviously ACL tears occur when the knee goes into valgus, but I think that avoiding valgus altogether is a bad idea in rehab. I think that if you were to watch a bunch of or at least try to find a bunch of still frame shots of athletes running and lunging and playing soccer and volleyball. At some point, your knee is going to go into valgus. And if your body has never been in that position before, it's not going to have any clue about what to do. And so that's kind of what we talk about with proprioceptive training. There's a bunch of proprioceptors throughout the body, and they're all stimulated differently. So we want to train them and stimulate them in the environment that we're going to participate and play sports in and live our lives in. And so by reaching through different planes, driving different movements with your arms or your legs or your hips or even your head, that's going to put you into the positions that you need to get into to play sports, and allow you to be more effective when you land in positions that are a little abnormal, because you are going to land in abnormal positions, especially when you get out there and you're reacting to high speed ball movements or opponent movements. So that's what we always try to do. Obviously, I'm not going to let somebody collapse their knee with a heavy load or land in a horrible valgus position, but you can create certain movements that you want to train at the ankle, hip, and knee just by simply reaching in multiple different directions. And then you can slowly add weight or resistance to it, or even TheraBands to it as well, to get those positions and get those proprioceptors stimulated through those different positions.
All right, so if someone doesn't have, you know, one of the TheraBands out there, an athletic trainer's out on the field, and they want to do some rehab work with, you know, a knee injury, what they could do is hold like one of our water bottles in their hand that's full, and as they reach out, it adds a little bit of weight, or the water bottle carrier, or, you know, if we're out at football practice, a pad, or at baseball practice, I know you do a lot of work with baseball, they could hold either the ball, the glove, or the bat, and that, again, changes the balance.
Absolutely.
And the angle. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it can be anything. Like I said, you can even just use just your own arm. But if you can add something to it, a 3 to 5 pound to maybe even a 10 pound, something that weighs that much, regardless if it's a weight or not, that definitely will help, especially if you're prepping for a game, warm up. I think warm ups are a great time to do a little prehab type stuff. Get the whole body, full body stimulated for exercise. So I think it's one of the best ways coaches can help keep their athletes from getting injured. So if you can have a really well-designed warm-up routine to where the body is ready to perform, and you can get the CNS fired up as well as all of the proprioceptors ready to do what they need to do in order to keep the body in safe position. So anything you can use, it definitely will work for sure.
All right. And so again, moving more towards the upper body, I know you do, like I said, a lot of preventative rehab with baseball, and at some point we'll hopefully talk about that here. But what are some of the exercises that you do there in the clinic with either the TheraBand or less for upper body injuries?
So yeah, the bands are great for kind of arm care routines, and there's some really great things out there that ball players are doing out on the field. So bands can be taken out to the field very easily, and you'll see a lot of that stuff on social media. Different guys out there warming up with TheraBands and stuff. You know, aside from the traditional internal external rotation and the, you know, adduction and extension exercises, I really like having them kind of pull diagonally, you know, high to low, low to high in PNF patterns with the bands. I like to get the whole body involved, so I'll have them spread out kind of into a wider stance to where if they're using their right arm, they're pulling with the right arm, and then as it kind of crosses the midline, they end up pressing it forward. You know, I like doing throwing reversals, to where they might be concentrically pulling in a reverse throwing motion, and then eccentrically controlling the regular throwing motion. Because obviously, when you throw a baseball, it's really important to have good deceleration of the posterior cuff muscles, but you also need to have the rest of the body understanding what's going on. So it's good to isolate the shoulder to a certain point, but you want to make sure that the muscles around the scapula and the cuff muscles, they're also, you know, having some interaction with the core and the hips and the feet as well. So I like doing throwing reversals and then eccentric control on the way back.
When you're doing the throwing reversals, are you normally have them in a half kneeling position or standing or both?
Usually in standing. Half kneeling is a great, like I said, it puts a little bit more emphasis on the core and up, takes the feet out of there. So those are great ways to add in extra core work. But I think if you're going to do anything in half kneeling or kneeling, it definitely needs to get done in standing as well, because, you know, the foot is important. And like I've been kind of mentioning before, we want to get the full proprioceptive awareness happening through the whole body, because, you know, you're going to play this sport standing up. So you want to make sure that it happens in that same environment. I like doing also, I think I have a video on this as well, definitely on Instagram for sure, it's like a horizontal abduction. And so where if I were to pull it with my left arm, I pull it so the band is all the way across my chest and my arm is at about 90 degrees of flexion, and then it's abducted to about 90 degrees. And then you can take your other arm and press the band out away from your chest. So what that does is it, you know, obviously you get the work from horizontally abducting your arm, but you also get, as your right arm presses the band out, the posterior scapular muscles have to hold that band so that your arm doesn't deviate forward. And then you can do that in multiple different planes and in multiple different stances as well. As far as planes, I mean, you could attach the band from low to high to low, or just straight across as well.
Yeah, and again, with these CLX, it's got the loop, so it should be easier to, like, put your hand in there, or, you know, do one of those where you loop it around the door handle thing or whatever it is. But I like the using the TheraBand for the reverse throws, because I've seen somebody before do that with a real small weighted baseball, like a 2-pound, I don't know, but they would stand behind them. So you had to either stand on the other plane or have them kneeling, and they would catch it and then slow it down and then toss it back up. It took us forever to ever get coordinated enough to do like just a few reps. So they're trying to, you know, reach and catch from behind them. And I think using a TheraBand for that, I don't know if it's a lot safer. It seems like it's a lot safer, but it just seems like a lot more efficient.
Yeah, it's definitely easier. It doesn't require a partner, and there's no hand-eye coordination involved. You know, I actually just wrote an article on elite baseball performance with Mike Reinold, and it's all about pitching deceleration drills. And that what you mentioned is one of the drills I put up there, as well as a couple others. But yeah, that's a great drill because you're overloading the eccentric phase of the arm coming through. But there's a lot of learning involved. There's a lot of missed balls and a lot of chasing of a ball as people try to catch it. But yeah, the band works really well for that. You know, the sometimes it's you got to make sure you have the right type of band that doesn't get too tight. You want to make sure that, you know, that one of the great things about TheraBands is that the resistance gets more difficult as you pull it away. So that's what's the difference between using a band versus using a cable. But sometimes you can find bands that are good at a certain point, but then especially if you're doing large movements, they might get way too difficult, and you start seeing shoulder elevation and compensations and stuff like that. But that's a great drill to have pitchers do prior to throwing, or even, you know, any kind of thrower prior to a game, to get everything warmed up and ready to go, as well as core. I mean, that's gonna, you know, anything that pulls on one of your limbs with resistance is gonna require you know, midsection centralized stability as well. So yeah, it's a great drill.
All right, so in other sports, you know, I mean, we talked about kind of some baseball specific things, but what other upper body exercises do you like to do without equipment or with just a TheraBand?
With the other one, I like, excuse me, getting over this devil cold right now. Oh my gosh.
Ricky move, you didn't bring a water cup with you. That's why I got mine right here.
Yeah, well, yeah, I got a little bit of water, but I've just got this crazy cold one. Something else I like to do with the band is if I were to have somebody standing as if they were going to do an external rotation, one of your standard external rotation tubing drills, if they were just to hold their elbow at their side with their elbow flexed at 90 degrees so that they're kind of holding that resistance, I like to have them step forward and lift their arm up so that only the shoulder is flexing and their elbow is not flexing. The elbow stays flexed to 90 degrees. And the shoulder elevates. And so what that ends up doing is, you know, you're working your external rotators through the entire elevation process. And that's going to really help for normalizing glenohumeral motion And it's a pretty good burner too. You want to make sure that the external rotators are getting worked, not only at the side, but even in the scapular plane and then overhead as well. That's a great drill and a really difficult one to do. It looks easy, but you can either do it without the step or just standing still. But I'll have them step forward with their opposite foot just because that's how you would throw. And then just lift the, make sure all the motion's coming from the shoulder and not, they're not curling their hand towards their shoulder as they elevate the arm. Those are good ones, as well as if you were to face the band, you can do, you know, different types of, you can do just a frontal plane elevation from starting the hand at the hip and lifting it overhead, or holding it overhead. And you can do, if you have a partner, you can have them do some rhythmic stabilization around the shoulder while they're holding the arm overhead with the band pulling from the front, so that you're getting a bunch of posterior scapular and cuff muscle activation with some rhythmic stabilization.
All right. One thing we see some is bicep tendonitis. What are some of the exercises you might use for that issue?
So, you know, tendonitis, really regardless of what part of the body it's on, they need to be loaded, but you've got to be careful about how you're loading it. You don't want to overload it. So, you know, bands are a great way to train tendonitis because they're very easy to do isometric work. So if you were to do something where you kept the arm straight and just stepped out away from the band and forced the bicep tendon to fire stronger, but it would be in an isometric position. So, you know, bands are just a great way to work tendonitis conditions. So you can do that to where you increase the resistance and you're not actually changing, shortening the bicep. It would be just in an isometric position, but you're moving, so the band creates more resistance upon there. As with most shoulder conditions, you want to normalize glenohumeral and scapular motion as well. So you can throw in a kind of a typical rotator cuff routine as well. Because you want to make sure that the cuff is strong and that the force coupling is working together with the posterior and anterior cuff muscles, as well as the serratus anterior, so that the shoulder is going up overhead efficiently and not impinging on the acromion as well. But great way to load tendonitis conditions isometrically with TheraBands for sure. Because I think that's really the best way to treat your tendonitis. I think all the rubbing and scraping is fine, but you know, you need to load these things. And the bands are just, you know, adding in that isometric resistance is a great, great tool.
All right, and then one thing I've seen people do with a band, and especially something like this one that has the loops, it'd be easier to hook on, is using like Roland Ramirez. He works with the Houston Texans down here. He created the DS2 platform. So it's basically like a slide board with dots on it. And so then they have to move, keep one hand stable, like in the center, and then move out to the side. It's similar to what you were talking about, where you hold your arm and horizontal abduction and press with the other arm. And so just another a deal. And Bill, my other athletic trainer here, he put a sock on his hand and just did it on the wall, right? And so if you don't have the money to buy the platform from Roland, then you can put a sock on your hand and do it on the wall or something like that. So another good option with a TheraBand for the shoulder or upper body stuff. So
yeah, it's great stuff. Good.
All right, we've been talking... We talked first about core and then lower body, upper body. In the theme throughout, you saying, you know, you got to be standing, you got to do the whole body. If you're doing the, you know, you're not playing the sport sitting down. So for a full body exercise with TheraBands or less, what are you going to recommend?
Well, any of the lunging and reaching exercises are going to get the whole body going. But if you really, really want to get after it, you can do stuff where, you know, you can attach those things on to the, you know, so that under your feet, and you can get into some squat presses, lunge, you know, sequences as well. But any kind of lunge and reach where the arm is reaching with the band attached to it, you're going to get a full body activation because the lunges are already activating the muscles around the foot, knee, and hip. And then the band will take care of some core and upper extremity muscle activation. But, you know, you can start using it like you would use a barbell. So, I mean, I've seen people, you know, do overhead squats with different bands, and they've got their arms extended overhead, and the bands are, you know, either going in a loop underneath their feet or just attached to some sort of platform. And then you can do overhead squats with the band overhead. You know, and that's kind of like how powerlifters will use it. So as you stand up, the resistance gets really tough. Down at the bottom, it's not as much band resistance, but you're already pretty deep. So that's going to get, you know, some of the leg muscles firing as well. But yeah, those are, you know, really good ways to get the whole body activated for sure.
We use quite a few of those. Bill was actually having one of our kids do band squats today, squats with a band. He's coming off of ACL, so yeah, I had him out there in the hallway doing that stuff. So what other things can you think of that would be helpful to an athletic trainer to perform rehab or strengthening with, like I said, either the CLX band from TheraBand? And just in case you didn't know, this episode is sponsored by TheraBand, a Kramer company, and that's why we're giving away things for free. So Chris, using either that TheraBand or less, what other exercises that we might not have covered?
You know, any kind of drill that's going to require balance, you know, standing on one leg. You know, those are really important because a lot of sports do happen on one leg, especially soccer, which is where you're getting all of these ankle and knee injuries with the kids. So they need to be able to stand on one leg and reach with one foot or reach with their upper extremities. And again, you can add bands into all that stuff to where if you were standing on your left foot, you could add a band onto the right foot and have it, you know, trying to move that right foot with the band attached to it. I've seen some other great stuff where you can attach the band onto the right foot. If you're standing on the left foot, you drive the right knee up and then let it come back. So the band's pulling from behind you. So on the way up, you're getting a lot of, you know, quad activation. And as the foot drops back down into a posterior lunge, the standing foot's getting a ton of hamstring and glute activation. But anything that's done on one leg is really important, regardless if you're reaching the hands or reaching the feet. That allows the knee to translate inside and outside the foot, allows for calcaneal eversion and inversion, which is important for you to be able to control all of those motions, as well as muscles around the hip to stabilize the hip and pelvis. But you can attach a band to anything. If you were to stand on one leg and attach a band out, if you were to stand on one of those star mats, you know, and reach in through all those different planes, and you can attach a band to each one of those planes and have your athletes reach through there. And that'll really get them familiar with that one leg stance and get all the muscles firing that need to fire in order to, you know, balance and reach when you're getting into game situations, especially soccer, because there's so much soccer that happens where you're standing on one foot and reaching with your opposite foot, whether it is to, you know, challenge the ball or just to kick a ball.
All right. I know we kind of covered leg earlier, but I want to go back and see if you have anything new for me. We do normally for an ankle injury, which obviously is the number one sports injury, they will normally do the up, down, left, and right with the TheraBand. They'll do calf raises and balancing, and then we'll do dead bugs and push-ups and squats and lunges, those type of exercises as well once they're, you know, full weight bearing. But with the TheraBand, what else might we do in rehabbing our ankle sprains?
You know, I mean, obviously we mentioned that, you know, the just working the foot. I think as long as they can start standing up, you want to get them working all those muscles around the foot and standing. So I think we kind of talked about, you know, balancing and reaching and having different pulls on the body. You can even get it out to where you're just isometrically holding it. You can try different little Pavlov presses in single leg stance to where there is a little bit of a horizontal perturbance, and you have to adjust from the foot. You know, other than that, I mean, I think just trying to get, especially starting out, just trying to get them to move the ankle and the foot independently of the rest of the leg is really important. It's so common, especially when people get a boot fresh out of a boot, that entire leg just moves as one unit and they can't dissociate the ankle from the tibia at all. But I think that's what some of those band you know, inversion, eversion, plantar flexion, dorsiflexion drills are just great for sure. Early on, for sure.
All right. I know you have some videos, like you said, on YouTube, on Instagram, on your website, which is chrisbutlersportspt.com. And you said you're going to make a series based off of kind of what we discussed here. You're currently working on it, and you should have it posted again there. Your site, chrisbutlersportspt.com. So is there any other recommendations you have? Do you have a favorite place that you like to go to look up new stuff or to check and make sure you're doing it correctly?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely am on Instagram. That's probably the one social site that I'm actually on the most. But I definitely have a Facebook and Twitter, you know, that I do put stuff out on. But I really like a lot. There's a few people that I like to follow on Instagram in particular. I think his name is Teddy Wilsey, a strength coach therapy on Instagram. He puts out some great stuff. Zach Long, Barbell Physio, puts up a bunch of great videos as well. You know, my Instagram is pretty much, I'm following all kind of sports medicine type people, and I get a lot of great ideas from other clinicians out there, regardless if they're trainers, PTs, or chiropractors. There's a lot of it's just a great place to get a lot of different ideas or different takes on what you've been doing. Someone just did it a little bit differently, and it might be exactly what your patient you know, needs or your athlete is going to need. But yeah, I mean, I think if you just get on the Instagram and you know, start typing in different hashtags and keywords, sports medicine or rehab, you're going to find a lot of great people out there. There's a bunch of great stuff, regardless if it's stretching or joint mobilization or exercises. And everybody's got a little bit of a different thing. I mean, there's some people that are all about, you know, weightlifting rehab, and other people that are all about different types of joint mobility. So yeah, it's a great, great tool. Same thing with Twitter. There's a lot of great clinicians that put out great blog posts and articles that you can find good stuff on.
All right. And again, Chris is going to put together some videos. He's already working on them. He's going to have them there on his site to go over what we've been talking about here and things that you can do just with the TheraBand. Like I said, TheraBand is sponsoring this episode. TheraBand's now a Kramer company. So the CLX, the consecutive loop band, the continuous loop band. So there's got several different colors of those where you can register to win. Once from May 19th to June 2nd, 2017, you can register to win a set of those. I'll have those shipped out to you. So make sure you check that out. Go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cheaprehab, and that'll have the widget or whatever it is that you click here to enter your giveaway and go from there. So that'll have a link to Chris's site. That'll have ways to contact him as well. Chris, right now when we're recording this, it is National Athletic Training Month. So I know you're not an athletic trainer, but I'm pretty sure you've had some positive interactions with athletic trainers. So is there an athletic trainer you would like to thank?
sorry. You know, first off, I listened to your recent show where you had the athletic trainer from Venice High School, and I am really impressed with what schools are doing these days with their sports medicine programs, athletic training programs. You know, kind of because of, I mean, I've been thinking about this for a while, but I got really motivated after hearing your podcast. So now currently we're involved with two different schools here, and we're at South Pasadena High School and Pasadena High School both have sports medicine programs. And I know Pasadena, I'm not sure if South Pasadena, but they're recently at the, Eli Hallett, mm-hmm. St. Francis,
yes.
Competition. I think it was Venice might've posted this, or might've been Pasadena High that posted it on Instagram. There was like 600 kids at this competition, which just blew my mind. I think it was the coolest thing. I wish when I was in high school, they had sports medicine, kind of programs like this, but right now we have two kids, one from Pasadena and one from South Pasadena. And what they do is they come in here and they're kind of volunteering, doing kind of some aid work or kind of cleaning up or getting hot packs, cold packs and that kind of stuff. But I'm going to have them also start doing some projects. So I want to have them do little in services or maybe even teaching our staff about what they're learning in school, And then so they can start to put together projects to take back to their high schools, and show their sports medicine class and kind of what they did at CATS, maybe some things they learned and something that they created, regardless if that's a taping, video or some sort of first responder, skills, or something like that. But I'm super inspired by what these schools are doing, not only in the sports medicine realm, but I've heard a few stories already about a few kids that are either go into you know, the fire academy afterwards, or have even really helped out kids that were having some sort of acute kind of episode or injury on campus that wasn't even sports related, but their skills they learned in the sports medicine programs really prepared them for that. You know, there's a trainer in the area that I've known since 2006. I did an internship over at this other PT place in Arcadia, and I met Lydia. I don't remember what her married name is right now, but she's over at Mayfield High School, which is close by here, and she sends a bunch of her athletes over here. I met her. She was like a gym staff aide. She might have been an ATC at the time, but I've known her since 2006. She's had a great relationship with her, sending her athletes over to me, and then I can send them back to her, and we kind of team up on their rehab together. So I think having a great relationship with your local athletic trainers as a PT is really important, because the ATCs are seeing them every day, and I'm seeing them once or twice a week. So if you can have a really great relationship and communication with them, then these kids can get back on the field faster and safer, for sure.
That's awesome. So if you think about it, reach out to Lydia and just say, hey, I talked about you on the podcast today. I appreciate you, that kind of thing. Because, you know, everybody likes to hear they're doing good work. Just like I've talked about you, you know, I enjoy seeing the stuff that you post on social media, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that, because it's a lot easier to just do everything yourself and not share what you're doing, or not take the time to make quality videos and instructions. And so thank you, Chris, for the work you're doing there. And I'm really excited that you were able to bring in those high school kids. Cause I tell kids all the time, if you think you want to be a physical therapist, go volunteer. If you think you want to be a nurse, go volunteer. Cause that's what I did. I volunteered at a physical therapy clinic in college and realized this is not really what I like. I'd rather be with sports. I'd rather be in the athletic training room. And so for me, that helped me make a decision. For other people, it would make them, you know, if a kid thinks they want to do athletic training, well, come check it out. If you don't do it, that's fine. Go find what you do like. So I'm really excited you guys are opening that opportunity up. So good job to you.
Yeah, no, it's great. That's always my advice too, to anybody who wants to get into it. See what happens on a daily basis and see if you like it, for sure.
Well, Chris, it has been a pleasure. I want to remind everyone to go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/cheaprehab, where you can get more information from Chris, how to contact him. And then, like you said, he's pretty active on Instagram, or you can also click there to register to win once this is released in the audio-only version, so May 19th to June 2nd, 2017. And then if you are at NATA 2017, I'll be at the Free Hydration booth, chilling with Robbie. We'll be doing lots of interviews and just talking to people, enjoying our time while we host the National Athletic Trainers Association Convention here in our own city. So for Jeremy Jackson, Chris Butler, physical therapist, sports medicine director at CATS Physical Therapy in California. That is a wrap. Thanks, Chris.
All right. It was a pleasure, Jeremy. Thank you.
Bye.